Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. This week is going to be dedicated, for the most part, not completely, but for the most part, to St. Peter. At the end of this week, on Friday, we celebrate the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter and his unique call, the unique call in his life that Jesus made him the first pope, the vicar of Christ. It's such a beautiful story, and it's important to, I think, take some time to just think about St. Peter, reflect on him together this week. I find him to be a very encouraging character in the story of God's plan, because Peter is such a normal, such an ordinary guy in so many ways. He reached the heights in terms of encountering God, responding to the Lord's call in his life, but he also hit the depths. And at the time the Lord needed him the most, he denied that he ever even knew Jesus. In fact, he denied it three times, the very thing Jesus said he would do, and he said he would never do, he actually did. So there were times when Peter, just after being crowned by something, turned and stepped into a cow pie, you might say, that his humanity just got revealed. I mean, his humanity was revealed for all to see. And his whole story is an important one, for each and every one of us. He was a little bit like two steps forward, one step back. I think that's what the life of the pursuit of Christ is for many of us, you know, because we're still battling against the old man in us. We're battling against our fallen nature. We're learning how to walk in the Spirit and to come under the Lordship of Jesus. And our hearts are being slowly transformed so that we, day by day, are learning to love more what Jesus loved and be able to act out of that freedom and to say yes to him. And as St. Paul tells us, you know, to make it our aim to please him. And I'm sure that's exactly where Peter's heart was from the day he began to follow Jesus, really wanting to be united to him. He was amazed, like everyone else. He was completely amazed by Jesus, by his wisdom, his authority, his power, his signs and wonders, the absolute uniqueness of Christ. He was absolutely captivated by him, I'm sure of it. And he was identified with him. You know, he was in a special relationship with Jesus. And back in the day when the apostles were following in the footsteps of Jesus, when they were invited by Jesus to become their disciples and he was to be their master, in those days it was very common for a rabbi, for a teacher, to have a set of students and followers, those disciples around him that he would really share his whole life with and impart to them what he's learned, who he was, but they'd be identified with him as well. So it was an honor to be connected with somebody who was so significant and a rabbi that everybody noticed, you know. So Peter not only was part of the disciples that Jesus gathered around him, but he was in that inner ring with, you know, Peter, James, and John. It seemed like Jesus had a particularly unique relationship with those three, even among the 12. And of course, Peter was the one he selected to be the first vicar of Christ on earth, which is really amazing. So what I want to do today, we'll celebrate on Friday the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter. What I want to do today, though, is just begin the week with looking at that section from Matthew 16, where the declaration of Peter happens and where Jesus gives Peter a new name, which all is related to the position that Jesus was going to give him, the assignment that was going to be Peter's. But let's begin with verse 13. It says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do men say the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?'" Now, that's a key question that every one of us needs to answer, right? And to be able to answer it clearly, because that's what it means to begin for each one of us to become his disciple. Who do we really say Jesus is? Is he the Son of God? And who is he for me? Is he my Lord? Is he my God? Have I surrendered my whole life to him? Who do I see him as? But in this context, Jesus asks the question. And then says, "Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" In other words, you are the Messiah. Christ means Messiah, right? You're the Messiah of the Jews, the one who is to come, the one we've been waiting for and anticipating. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So Peter makes a God-inspired declaration. God the Father is drawing back the veil. What a privileged moment for Peter, right there among the 12. The Father is revealing to Peter the reality of who Jesus is. What Paul would say, the mystery that was hidden in God for ages has now been revealed. And Peter was one of the first to really lay hold of and begin to see the absolute uniqueness of Jesus. And so Jesus blesses him. And then he does to him what he did to Abraham and others. He gave him a new name. He said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter." Peter means, right, the Aramaic word for Peter is Kepha, which means rock. Jesus declares as he names Peter, usually the giving of the name is giving a new responsibility. This is a big one. This is a lot of responsibility. He's giving him a new assignment, and he's beginning to declare and help Peter understand the unique calling that he has even among the 12. He said, "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." There's a tremendous amount in these few verses, but the time of Jesus it was common for a king to have a number two who represented him, right? Like a secretary of state or something like that. And he would give him the keys, and the keys symbolized the authority that he was given by the king himself to represent the king, to speak in the king's name, to exercise the king's authority. And all this transfer and first awakening of Peter's heart by the Father. And can you imagine the joy on Jesus' face? I mean, at that moment, because Jesus was united to the Father really at all times, right? He was walking with the Father. The Father had sent him. He knew he came on a mission to build the kingdom. He knew the 12 that were to have this special place around him upon whom the church would be built and the unique place that Peter would have. And to know that the Father has Jesus' back, right, who's there with the Lord, let Peter see the truth about Jesus must have brought tremendous joy to our Lord. So then the reading goes on. Jesus says in verse 20, "Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ." All right, so that's the main revelation that happens, that he indeed is the Messiah of the Jews, and Jesus let it be known, and it's the same today. Flesh and blood does not reveal to the human heart who Jesus is. The declaration, "Jesus Christ is Lord," St. Paul tells us, can only emerge. That declaration is the realization of who Christ is, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Not only is he the Messiah, the one that's anointed with the Holy Spirit, and in him heaven and earth are united, and from his heart will flow this mighty river of the grace and power of the Holy Spirit through which the church would be born, and it still flows through history, and it will flow until he comes again in glory. So he's the Messiah, but he's also Lord. Peter will preach this very reality in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, where he will declare, he'll announce the reality of what God the Father has done in Jesus, who he has made Jesus to be. Jesus is risen from the dead. He's exalted at the right hand of the Father, and he's Lord and Christ. Peter said, this is the confession you must make as a Christian. This is what it means. And Paul would say that reality, that understanding, of course, anybody can say those words, but to say them, to believe them, because you have faith to lay hold of the fact of who Jesus is, that's grace, that's God's mercy, that's God's gift, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so the same thing that Jesus said to Peter here, that Heavenly Father has revealed this to you. You didn't come to this on your own. That's the way it's meant to be for all of us. That's why some people who even have gone to church many times, who've really not sought the Lord, who come to meet Jesus, come to surrender their lives to him, they haven't met him as Lord and Savior. They haven't met him as Messiah and who he actually is. And the culture at large continues to try to reduce Jesus, even voices within the church. You know, Jesus is one road to salvation. There's many roads to salvation. He's, you know, some call him, he's a Oprah's guru. I forgot his name, the guy she had on her program a whole number of times was like a spiritual hero for her. Said, you know, Jesus was one of the most enlightened human beings ever. So the kind of what Pope Benedict described as the pressure within this fallen world to always reduce the figure and the person of Jesus from his glory and his majesty and his power. Well, Peter's getting a glimpse of it here. He's beginning to see. But you know what? He's still Peter, and he's still a fallen and weak human being. And this is who Jesus gives the keys to. This is who Jesus is building his church on. This is what all the apostles are like, right? They have clay feet, just like you do, just like I do. None of them is perfect. And certainly that's going to be revealed in spades on the night Jesus is arrested on his way to Calvary. But the reading goes on. In verse 21, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and to be killed and on the third day be raised. So the truth came out through Peter's confession. It was the right time and the right place. Jesus wanted them to answer the question and to begin to see who he truly was, and he's the Messiah. Now, here in verse 21, Jesus is beginning to teach them of the destiny of the Messiah, which is different than the anticipation that many Jews had, that he would be a political leader, he would come and he'd drive out the Romans, he'd reestablish everything that needed to happen in Israel. But Jesus now begins to tap into the prophetic tradition of Isaiah and Jeremiah and others in the Old Testament who spoke very clearly about how the Messiah must suffer. So verse 22 is so revealing. Remember, Peter was just, he just stood out among the 12. He got the special revelation. Jesus just had given him a blessing. And when Jesus begins to speak the truth about who he is, building on Peter's acknowledgement of who he is, Peter says this, and Peter took him and began to rebuke Jesus, saying, God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned around and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but of men. Now, how's that for a turnaround? I mean, he's in one moment, he is in the sight of God. He's receiving from the Lord. He's thinking out of the grace and power of the Holy Spirit and not out of his own flesh. He's not relying on his own understanding, but he's been given us a revelation. And grace had come to him in that moment. But then Peter's now relying on his own understanding of who the Messiah is supposed to be. Because what Jesus describes, that he's going to be rejected by the leaders, he's going to be killed, and on the third day rise, it was just not in his categories. He thought, there's no way the religious leaders can triumph over you. And they have to hear you. You're the Messiah, right? And Peter so boldly, here with an exclamation point, God forbid, Lord, that this would ever happen. And Jesus says, Peter, now you're operating in the flesh. Now you're relying on your own understanding. In fact, you aren't on my side at this moment. It's Satan himself. Here's a different voice now that's speaking to you that you're responding to out of fear or out of your understanding of what you think is right. And so Jesus rebuked Peter after Peter had rebuked Jesus. So you just see the reality of who Peter is. What an amazing character. Let's take up this again tomorrow, friends, and just dive into the life of St. Peter a little bit more because he's so encouraging. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.